You have to push. You have to do it. God is not doing it for you. You have to push. You have to move towards it. You have to take that initiative that's already there, because the Spirit of God is with you.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, February 16th, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Running the Race, and our text comes to us from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
So, last week we talked about one of the big passages of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and some of you looked like you had been hit with a sledgehammer. And it's not meant for you to feel that way. It's meant for you to just make an assessment of where you are walking with the Lord. And today I'm going to pick another passage of Scripture which addresses this whole idea of following Jesus in our lives. And I hope you understand that following Jesus is more than just coming to church. We'll talk about that. Following Jesus means you wake up Monday morning and you're still a follower of Jesus Christ. And then Tuesday comes, and you're also a follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's a lifestyle. And because it's a lifestyle, we have to understand that you have to pace yourself. And you have to understand that Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither were you. And so our passage today deals with this journey of ours. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 12, one of my favorite books of the Bible, especially chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And so let's look at it today. This is what the writer to the Hebrews does for us, which is Paul. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses. Now, which were those witnesses? Well, that's chapter 11. And I don't know if I have the time to go to chapter 11, but I'm telling you, the heroes of the faith, those are the witnesses. It's unbelievable what they've endured and what they went through and what God did in their lives. And they are witnessing your life and my life today. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. I can't read the other part. For us, fixing our eyes. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then verse 3 says, consider him. Consider him who endures such opposition. From who? From sinful men. So that you will not grow what? And what? So you don't want to be a loser. But thank you. But often in the battle of looking at life and facing our issues, we tend to lose heart. I know I've been there, and you have been there too. But let's go to the text and find out a couple of things. That when Paul wrote to the Hebrews, he's writing to a group of people, a group of Christians, proudly living in Rome. And instead of growing, instead of going deeper in their understanding of the faith, they went on reverse. And they were in danger of just getting wiped out. So Paul writes and says, how can I help you to mature in life? Or how can I help them mature in their faith? And how can I encourage them in the midst of difficulties that are facing, and there's no question about it. We all face difficulties. And then Paul's idea also is, how can I persuade them to remain faithful, even though they are tempted to go back to the former life? Let me tell you, tempting to go back to the former life is an absolute fiasco. So Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, may very well be the key to the entire epistle that Paul writes to the Hebrews. And I find here something like several steps, like five steps, like a roadmap for spiritual maturity. And that's what we're dealing with. How can I grow up? How can I grow up in the things of God? How can I grow up in my life? And the first thing I'd like for you to consider is that you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, as I've said a few minutes before. So you need to get some roles in your life, some people who mean something, people who have done well. And chapter 11 says it very clearly, that they're watching our race. We got people who are watching you and me. I won't go into all of that at this moment, but I tell you, there's a cloud of witnesses of the Old Testament who, described in the previous chapter, tells us about their faith and how they moved in the midst of difficulties and in the midst of uncertainty. And the author tells them that they persisted in spite of those difficult moments in their lives. And he says, you know, you thought you had it rough. Well, let me just tell you something right now. My difficulties and your difficulties are very small in comparison with them. And if they could do it, maybe you and I can do it as well. So the first step that I like to mention to you is that you and I need to have role models in our life, biblical role models in our life. And you and I know that we are imitators. We really are. We're born imitating. And we deserve to have good role models in our life. And let me just maybe look at verse 11, chapter 11 of Hebrews. And he says, by faith we understand the universe was formed. By faith Abel offered God. By faith Noah. By faith Abraham. And he goes on reading, and it's all the stuff that he did. And then he goes on, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. And then verse 32 says, and what else can I say? I don't have the time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, okay, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. And he goes on to say, women also received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prisons. They were stoned. Doesn't mean they were drunk. I mean, they were stoned. They were sawed in two. Jeremiah, tradition is that he was sawed in half. Sawed in half, yeah. They were put to death by the sword. Go read in verse 37. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet this were all commended for their faith. In other words, sometimes you could be at the very bottom of your suffering and you're still there. You're still a believer. Because you're going through problems doesn't mean that you're no longer a believer or that God has left you. God's still working with you. But the adversities of life can be very difficult. And you may be going through something right now. You need a role model. You need to see how others have gone through much more deeper concerns, and yet they're still serving the Lord. So he says, the writer to the Hebrews says, look at all the witnesses you have. Look at all the people that have gone before you. Choose your models carefully. Who are you imitating? Who are the heroes in your life? Who are they? Who are they? I don't want to give a list of possible heroes, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave it there. I just want you to meditate deeply in the lives of those who have gone before us serving God. Visualize in your mind what they went through. Imagine. Make real to yourself what they endured. Understand this truth. And reflect how they dealt with the challenges of life. We learn by example. So the Bible is filled with issues that people faced and how they conquered those issues. And they made it. They made it because God never left them. So I'm asking you, who are your role models in life as we pursue the Lord? I hope it's more than just the Lakers. Nothing wrong with them, but I hope it's more than the Toyota-thon or whatever is going on today. I hope it's more than a political leader. I hope that you go to Scripture and you find men and women who endured a righteous lifestyle. Who are your models? Who are you imitating? Because you are. You are imitating. You need to choose your models carefully and see what they did for the glory of God. The second thing he says, Paul, writing to the beautiful people in Rome, the Hebrews, he says that you need to come to grips with some of the stuff that is weighing you down. He says, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Whoa, I thought that was over and done with. I thought my sins were forgiven. I thought everything was fine. Well, yeah, but there comes a time in all of our lives, this author that I'm reading is very, very good. He says, there comes a time in everyone's life that it's draino time. This draino step where you clean the pipes, when all the muck that has been accumulating for a while gets to be cleaned up. It's dealing with the garbage that stops us, blocks us from fellowship with the Lord. Now, I'm not going to take away what is known as relationship with God, because once you establish that relationship with the Lord, it's there, it stays there. But fellowship with God, the dialogue with God, it can get all clogged up. And when you deal with the issues in your life, all of a sudden you say, this is why things are not really going the way they should be going in my life. Isaiah 59:2 says it very clearly. He says, Isaiah says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Isaiah, as a prophet, speaks very clearly and direct that when we do wrong things in our walk with Jesus, we affect our fellowship with him. Does this ever happen to you? You've done something wrong. You know it's wrong. And it's time for prayer. And you say, oh boy. Well, Lord, well, you know all about it, right? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We've all been there, facing our own inadequacies and our own sin life tendencies. We're all there. And you have to understand that unless you confess that to him with actual words, oh, Lord, I ask you to forgive me because I had impure thoughts this week. Or, Lord, I ask you to forgive me because I did steal that from the store. We have some kleptomaniacs here, so. Lord, I had some awful thoughts about brother or sister. And Lord, I was not obedient to your voice. I mean, you got to come clean with the Lord in your own prayer life, in the privacy of your own heart, in the presence of the Lord, because that's what God looks at. He looks at the heart. The heart is you, at you. And it affects our relationship because, God knows about it, but you gotta come clean. You gotta come clean. How much can I say? But I want you to know the things that you and I do. See how I say you and I do? So that way you feel better because misery loves company. How we think, the activities we engage in, they directly impact our fellowship with God. And we need to deal with things that block that relationship. You gotta come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me with this. And so he talks about two blockades, everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. It's brilliant because he doesn't give us a list. I mean, Paul did that last week, didn't he? We don't have a real list here because my list is different from your list, but there's things in my life that I need to correct. One of them is the fear of tomorrow. Did you know that's a sin? Because he'll take care of the birds, he'll take care of you. I mean, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall what? But we want all the time. And so those small things in life often interfere because all of a sudden we're blocked by becoming in charge of our lives when the Lord is in charge of our lives. So, I mean, there are some things that we do that we continue to talk to the Lord about it, and he speaks to our hearts, and we get it cleaned up as much as we can. But whatever is hindering your fellowship with God, it's got to go. So you may say to him, Lord, forgive me for always being afraid of tomorrow. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking that this need is not going to be met. Lord, forgive me for my worldly tendencies in my heart. Lord, I keep going back to the old ways when I shouldn't. Lord, the temptation to do this, temptation to do the other. So the author calls you and me to examine everything in our life and to expect to see whether anything may be blocking our fellowship with the Lord. I think that's very powerful, and I think all of us know how to do that because we've been there. How many confess your sins to the Lord, I would say a weekly basis, hopefully it's a daily basis. Some of us on an hourly basis, okay. But it's, the idea is not to let it stew. The idea is to deal with it then so that God can continue to work in your mind and you will be free from those things, and it's important. But he goes on to say, because it's a third thing that he says to us, and it's our frame of mind. He says that you need to live like you're a marathon runner. He says, run with perseverance the race set before you. And this is the thing. It's a race. It's a walk. It is a marathon. It is a race of life. You know what it really means? How much time we have before we die. I was making some calculations. How many more years will I have in this earth? Like if I'm, you hit a certain number and some people say, well, it's just a number. Yeah, but a number is important. Don't let them kid yourself. So I came up with an idea of how many more years I have in my life, and it may very well be short a year so that I can get really blessed and going to heaven. But what I'm saying is all of us need to be cognizant that we're not here forever. And I need to know exactly how I am to run this race before me. And the word race is very interesting in the Greek. It really means agony. So the race of life in many ways is an agony. It's agonizing. Paul uses it also in Colossians 2:1, speaks about intense investment and labor written as he poured his life into others. It's not a walk in the park. It's not a casual stroll. It's not just seeing two beautiful, cute, elderly people walking in the park. Say, oh, how cute. Yeah, talk to them. See how cute it is. It's tough. And no matter how you slice it, what lies ahead is going to be a challenge and is going to be a struggle. Alex is just turned 17 years old and he's driving now. He's king of the hill, you know. I remember when I was 17. How many remember when you were 17? You don't even have memory of that anymore, so. And life is different from a 17-year-old to a 55-year-old person. It's different. It's different. And we all face peculiar challenges in our span of life. And you need to think of your life as this marathon, this race, there are three dangers sometimes with races, because one of them feels like it's going to be exhausting. And, you know, I used to run the 50-yard dash. I held the record at La Puente High School. You can check it out. Back in the the days, I was a sprint runner. I could do the 50 yards faster than anybody. Of course, that record has been beaten many times over since then. But at least there was a time when I was the fastest runner. Ask me to run 50 yards today. It's different. I can roll. But it wasn't exhausting. It's pleasure. It was fun. But comes a time when you no longer can do that. So you need to understand that for some of us, doing something we used to do, we can no longer do now, because if we look at it, it looks exhausting. But I want you to know that wherever you are to run at the speed and the agility that you now have. But you have to. And it may be exhausting, but I want you to know that it's not really exhausting, because you do what you can with what you have. Second thing I think of a race is a great metaphor, you know, but I have to be careful, because this metaphor sometimes causes you to be prideful. Look what I'm doing. And then the other problem is, look how the other ones are doing. I fast, I pray, I do this, I do that, and the other, and it can become problematic. But I just want you to take it in a very simple way, and simply say, you can run where you are with the speed that you have, and you don't need to compare yourself to anybody else, because this is a race within your heart, according to God's purposes in your life. So you need to be careful. Sometimes people who run the race, they don't enjoy life. I want you to enjoy life. 1 Timothy 6:17 says that God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So it's not a race to exhaust you. It's not a race for you to compare yourself with others. It's not for you to be judgmental on others and how they're doing. It's a life to enjoy in the Lord. We need to experience God's blessing in our life as we run with patience the race that is set before us. Pace yourself. Understand, there is something that you're going towards. You're moving towards something, and you need to do it with patience. And so the endurance and the persistence needs to be there. If you fall down, what do? You get up and keep going. When you stumble, you get up again and you keep moving. But there's a focus and there's a goal. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And verse 2 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is how Jesus lived. And he lived for us as an example. And two things about Jesus as our example. Jesus believed that God would come through. It would come through, and so should you and I. No matter what you're going through, God is for you and with you. Great men of God who have been asked to describe their life with God before they would die, they would say, this is the God with you life. That God is with you. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't quit on you. Jesus served God with all of his heart, with all of his life, understanding that God would come through his promise, and he rose from the dead. And I'm telling you, you got to believe, you got to understand that God doesn't leave you. He doesn't abandon. He doesn't quit on you. Amen. And so we look at Jesus, who believed in God and went all the way to the cross. And Jesus believed that God would give him, you know, the strength to endure the pain and the shame. I mean, he's the Son of God being nailed to the cross, being put a crown of thorns and ridiculed and put down and whipped and kicked and crucified between two thieves and the mock trial and, oh, horrible. I just want you to know that Jesus trusted in God, that God was going to give him the strength, and he did get the strength. And so he made a commitment to endure the pain, the discomfort, the difficulty. He didn't complain. He was not a whiner. He believed that no matter what he was going through, God was with him, and God was not ever going to leave him. With your permission, Sister Sanchez, your husband, we got saints here. We just don't identify them as much as all of us are saints in the presence of the Lord. We really are, because we're believers and we're set by the Lord. I remember that hospital. I mentioned this before. I'll do it again. With your permission or without your permission. It's going. He was not doing well physically. And he was in the hospital. And he was not the only one, but this is the one that really touched my heart and ministered strength to me, because he was there and he said to himself, I don't have many more years to go. I may not have many weeks or months to go. And so he said to the nurse, nurse, can you give me a little bit extra of that? That way I can. Don't judge him. He was in bad pain. He was rough. And so the nurse said, I'm sorry, sir, I can't do that. And so he said, well, then I'm going to have to wait on the Lord. There you go. And he waited on the Lord, and the Lord took him at his time. But that waiting in the Lord with pain, trusting in the Lord in spite of course, give me a shot right now. Take this away from me. But that's not the Christian life. Why we go through pain, that's a question I'm going to ask the Lord. Some of us go through very difficult pains, but it's between you and God. All I can tell you is that Jesus endured pain and shame, and yet he trusted in the Lord. So our eyes are on the Lord. If the Lord went through it, we can also. We can. Because as Jesus trusted the Lord, he was honored for his faithfulness. And the Bible says that he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we can expect to be honored when we remain faithful. Your husband as well, sister. Sister Florence. And so many others that have gone before the Lord. I remember John. Oh, she's here too. Your mom's here too. Sammy, I remember your dad. And I always would go and pray for him. But I knew that the Lord was taking him soon, because he said to me, let me pray for you. And he grabbed my hand, my arm, and prayed for me. I was never so blessed by a man who was going to meet his maker very soon. Going through pain and going through discomfort. But you don't put God down, because your eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So this is what Paul is telling. Okay, so you're going through hard times. Your arthritis is acting up. I understand what that is. Well, not much. So this is going on. That's going on. Yeah. Well, you know, others have gone through that as well. And you need to look to them to see how they succeeded in serving the Lord in spite of it. Because what you need to do, we go back to the first point, you need to develop role models in your life. You need to study them. You need to reflect. But especially in the life of Jesus, so you can absorb what we have been talking about all for the months and months and months. We can absorb to see how Jesus lived his life, that we may be his disciples, that we may learn of him. Because who teaches you how to live is Jesus. The way you learn how to live life is by listening to Jesus. And in order for you to hear Jesus, you must spend time with him. You must push the envelope in your life and say, I am going to seek him. I am going to look for him. I'm going to read his word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be silenced in his presence. I'm going to fast. I'm going to go through the different disciplines that need to be implemented in my life with only one view, to get closer to him, to feel his strength in my life. So this is growing in grace and knowledge. You have to push. You have to do it. God is not doing it for you. You have to push. You have to move towards it. You have to take that initiative that's already there, because the Spirit of God is with you, and you call on the Lord, and all of a sudden, you begin to discover how present God is in your life and how much he's able to do. But you need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the word knowledge is not just the intellect. It is intimacy with God. You grow to know the Lord well. Well, one more element, and then I'll let you go. You look like you need to get out of here. Okay. And it's this. As you and I progress and move in the things of God, you need to experience what is known as accountability, living in community, as we do here in our church. I remember years ago when we had opportunities to sell this building and get new buildings and build here and do that. And it was a decade of great growth and movement, and this church was packed 3 services a day and sometimes a 4th one, and we had a choir that full of people here and this and that and the other. And so we're going to grow for the glory of God, and we were growing with the different services, but then we said, why don't we just build something bigger? And every time that we tried to build something bigger, we couldn't do it. There was always something that prevented us from moving on. I have in my office 3 different sets of blueprints for how we could build here. Not one of them made it through. And I believe it's because God has a way of dealing with each one of us in a smaller setting. And not all of us belong in a mega church. I don't knock them. I always felt we could be one. But this is accountability here. Let me just tell you that when you're not here, we know you're not here. You were not here last Sunday. Just to prove the point. you were here last Sunday, so you're fine. You're fine. Yeah. You're in the doghouse. Anyway, well, no, I shouldn't say that, because
my mom did say you told her that I wasn't here.
Yeah. You were not here last Sunday also, so right. Yeah, she was not here last Sunday. So nobody was here. Okay, so you 3 will repent. Come up here. No, but you know, I'm talking about, we know each other well. I can say this, but it's accountability to each other. Because this is where we face ourselves in so many different ways. The same writer to the Hebrews, Paul, it's a letter written as a word of exhortation, and that's Hebrews 13:22. And what it meant is that he would write this epistle, and it would be read to everybody who was a believer. And it was read out loud, and they were exhorted to live, you know. And Hebrews 10:4-5 speaks the importance of accountability and being together. Let us consider one another, it says. This is how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There's this idea of accountability. The Lord calls us together, and we're accountable to one another. And that is precious. Coming to church, being part of the body of Christ, being part of the family is unmistakably one of the most important things you can do as you develop your life with the Lord. I don't know what it means not to come to church, because I've always come to church. But some people play coming to church, you know, one Sunday sí, otro no, 5 not, 7 no, and hip and miss and this and that and the other. And what I'm saying is that this deprives you. It deprives you of running the race with accountability. It's chapter 10. It's not in our passage of chapter 11. But it tells us that if we're going to run the race, we have to run it with accountability. Sparing one another, that's the hallmark of accountability. Sparing one another towards love and good deeds, meeting together, encouraging one another. So spiritual growth for Hebrews means five things. Five things. Number one, we said, who are your role models? Let it be more than just, you know, what was it? The Eagles? Nothing wrong with them. If you're a bird, whatever. I'm getting into hot water here. Nothing wrong with sports, being a sports fan and rooting and, but your real role models for Christian walk should be anchored in God's word. Who are your role models? Who are they in your life? Secondly, how about the hindrances? What's always stopping you? What's blocking you? Well, Paul says, hey, get rid of them. Lord, I humbly confess to you that this is wrong in my life, and you know how I don't like my husband? You know how I don't like my wife? I don't know how I like the kids. And, you know, whatever it is, come to the Lord with it and say, this is what's going on in my life, Lord, and I'm not saying that you do. And then the other one is sin that entangles you. You need to confess those sins, those enemies of the faith that you can detect when you're angry, when you're upset, when you hold grudges. Oh, my goodness. How many know that some people have a grudge against you? Well, let me just tell you, you also have a grudge against them. Those are the small foxes that spoil the vines, says the Old Testament. The small little things that we think don't matter, they matter a lot, so get rid of them. The thing that entangles you, causes you to trip down. Then he says to run with patience. So you need to make an investment in your time and your labor. You need to know that you're running the race. And then you need to fix your eyes on Jesus. See how he lived. He is your model. He is the one that you're imitating. He is the one that you're following through. And then lastly, accountability to one another. Yeah, that there are no lone rangers in God's kingdom. You don't just do anything. You even when you think of it, okay, I'll say it. We all need a tonto in our lives. Nobody got that one. Okay. The Lone Ranger had a companion. Thank you. Jesus.
I guess I'm the tonto now.
Honestly and sincerely, we all need each other. Sometimes the person that you least expect in church is the one who blesses you and strengthens you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Lord, open our eyes to see those things that we need to just get rid of. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may confess our sin so that we're not entangled in life. Help us to run with perseverance this life that you've given us. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you, for you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. Thank you, Lord. Help us to consider Jesus that endured opposition, and he did that from sinful people. And let us not grow weary and lose heart. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Will you stand? Hey, it's a trip. it's a race. Yeah, it's a marathon. It's not a walk in the park, but take it every day. And every day, look inside of your heart and say, this has got to go, that's got to move. But at the same time, this has got to come into my life. And that's Jesus showing you how to live every single day of your life. What would Jesus do in my place? And that's what it's all about. Amen? So are we ready to say, this is the day that the Lord has made? Oh, that looks so uncoordinated. Let's do it again. This
is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you. Think of it. Jesus looking at you. And by looking at you, he gives you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You are dismissed this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.